Thank you, scouts and leaders, for sharing. Thank you, music team. We're going to turn in the Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible and would like one to follow along with, we have some right out there in the back. We'll be on page 227. And we're going to look at a brief true story today from 1 Samuel chapter 3. And it's about one-third of the way through the Bible. Comes right after the books Judges and Ruth. And this is a time when Scripture says everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. And that was a bad thing. And although our culture today is very different than back then, in many ways, many people today are doing what's right in their own eyes. And one thing Scouts seeks to do is help direct us along a path that's wise and productive and so forth. And this is a story that takes place around 1100 BC, and the focus is on a boy named Samuel. The Bible doesn't tell us his age. The first century Jewish historian Josephus tells us he was 12 years old. So somewhere probably between 10 and 14, or maybe 12 if Josephus was right. Samuel had a godly mother, Hannah, but he was living in the days when the judges ruled before God gave Israel kings, when, again, everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. And ironically included a priest, a religious leader named Eli, who was supposed to be the mentor for Samuel, who was being raised up in the temple to serve the Lord. And this religious leader, Eli, as well as his sons, were living very sinful lives. Nevertheless, God calls this boy Samuel to know him and to follow him. And that brings us to the title of today's message, God's Life Transforming Call. Are we equipping the next generation? God called Samuel at a young age to know and serve him. And although Samuel had a unique calling as a prophet, which you and I don't have, what we see in Samuel's life we can still learn from. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 15 that everything that was written in the past, the Old Testament, was written for our instruction. So we're turning to a passage about a young boy and God's call on his life to give us some help today. And also, for those of us who might be older, this passage is for us as well. For we too are called to know and serve the Lord and to equip the upcoming next generation to be knowing the Lord and serving him. And that can include things like what we see in Scouts. And investing in young people's lives is something that you who are part of Round Lake Scouts are devoted to. This is something that our church seeks by the grace of God to do in raising up young people in the Lord. So may this message, may this passage be a blessing to us as we all consider what's God's call in our lives. Are we obeying it? And how does this impact the next generation? So 1 Samuel chapter 3, and bear in mind as we read this true story, that this boy Samuel, if he was among us today, he might be going to your blue and gold banquet next month, making that transition from PAC 99 into Troop 275 or Troop 2019, if he was a girl, because that's about the age that Samuel was when God calls him. So perhaps it's obvious, but that's partially why I've chosen this passage. I thought it'd be good for Scout Sunday. Here we go, verse 1. The living word of the living God. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called Samuel, and the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he said, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place.
And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Samuel lay until morning, then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, Here I am. And Eli said, What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me, all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seems good to him. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And then chapter 4, verse 1, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this, your word that was written down. Thank you for this true story of how you called this boy, Samuel, at a young age, and that we can read it. We pray we'd be inspired by it, and that you'd guide us at this time. We pray a blessing on our children and nursery and in the Bible class. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're not going to cover this whole passage, but I read the whole chapter, so the whole story is in our mind, and I'm going to just highlight a couple things. And the overarching theme is this: God's life-transforming call. God's life-transforming call. The call of God includes God drawing us to himself and revealing himself to us to know and love the Lord. In other words, God's call is both what we do, but it rises out of who he calls us to be. And we are created in God's image, and he loves us, but we have a problem, a sin problem. It's like a spiritual cancer, and it's permeated every aspect of our being. And that sin nature that we have gets in the way of our relationship with God and in the way of how we're supposed to live. But God's call on our life is life-transforming. He changes who we are as he calls us to himself, and then as he calls us to go out and serve him, and that looks different in our different lives. We don't all have the same individual calling. And this calling also is to be lived out as the people of God. Not when we think about God's call, it's not just me and what does God have for me, but who are we as the people of God? So with those words in mind, I'm going to highlight three key things about God's life-transforming call. Here's the first one. God's life-transforming call is God-initiated. And it includes young people. Are we obeying his call or doing what is right in our own eyes? God is the one who initiates his call on our lives. And even if you were someone who at one point in your life was searching for God, and then maybe you became a Christian later on, the very fact that you were searching for him is God's Spirit working in you, drawing you to himself, calling you to himself so that you might come to know him, and then he'll send you out to serve him. But some people will live their lives just pursuing their own dreams and doing what they want to do and don't ever think in terms of God's call on their lives. And we see here in the life of Samuel that God's call is God-initiated. Samuel wasn't out looking for it. God came to him. And so part of what I encourage you to think today is, have I heard the call of God in my life? Or am I just going my own way? Have I heard the call of God in my life? And has that changed me? Notice again verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. So he's probably about 12 years old at this point. He's being raised up to serve the Lord in the temple. But he doesn't know the Lord yet, as we saw there in verse 7. But he's a boy. God's call, his life-transforming call on our life, it's God-initiated, and it includes young people. Samuel was a boy when God called him to himself and to serve him. And he had a godly mother, Hannah,
who had been barren, and then she cried out to God, and God chose to answer her prayer and give her a son. And then she gave him, after she had weaned Samuel, then she gave him over to be raised up in the temple under Eli. So he had a godly mother who impacted him, but most of the people around him, including Eli, were doing what was right in their own eyes. Nevertheless, God called Samuel when he was young, and in spite of how other people around him were living, and we can learn from that as well. Young people, don't put off the call of God in your life. Take it seriously. Don't think, oh, well, I'm only 10, or I'm only 15, or maybe I'm only 24. No, God calls young people to himself and to serve him at a young age. And it's such an honor and a privilege. Don't put off that call. And if you're someone who's already older and you have, the grace of God is there for you as well. But one thing we see here is that God's call comes. It's his initiative, and he calls young people. Have we heard his call? Have we obeyed it? Moving on in verse 1. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. This is because of how people were living, doing what was right in their own eyes. In the Bible, we have the book of Judges, then the book of Ruth, and then the book of 1 Samuel. And this is all taking place around the same time. And in the book of Judges, we get a list of how God's people were living, and they had different rulers called judges. This was before kings came, like King David. And here's how the book of Judges ends in verse 25. In those days, which was the days of Samuel, this boy, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. This is the time period Samuel was living in, but God called him to himself, even though lots of people were living sinful lives. And this ironically included Eli. Moving on, verse 2. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. Eli's physical eyesight reflected his spiritual eyesight. He was blind. He had wandered away from the Lord. He let his sons just do whatever they wanted, even though they were supposed to be faithful priests. And he didn't restrain them. This is who's raising up Samuel. But nevertheless, God calls Samuel at a young age to know him and to serve him, despite of how people are living around them. If we jump ahead to verse 6. And as we see in here, God calls Samuel three times. And all three times, Samuel does what? He goes to Eli, because God's never spoken audibly to him. And that's rare when God speaks that way. We see it most of the time in the Old Testament before Jesus came. God is a God who speaks. So Samuel thinks, oh, it must be Eli who's speaking to me. And then the third time, Eli finally figures out, oh, this must be the Lord. Which is also pointed to the fact that Eli had wandered from the Lord. It took him that long to figure it out. So then Eli says, in verse 8, the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. And therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And here's what Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Let me ask, have you heard the call of God on your life? Have you sensed God drawing you near to himself? And if so, has your response been like this boy Samuel? Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. I want to hear your call in my life. I want to obey your call. I recognize you're the one who's initiated this call in my life. I want your will, not mine. And if you're a young person, will you be like Samuel, who probably around the age of 12 heard the call and obeyed the call when many boys and girls his age in those days were not doing so. They weren't living for the Lord. They were going their own way, just like the adults around them. God's call was God initiated, and it came on a young person. He didn't wait for Samuel. He did call other people later on in life, but God calls young people to himself. Hallelujah. Have we heard that call? We see this with different people in Scripture, including there's a king named Josiah in the Bible. He was 8 years old when God raised him up to be a king, and around the age of 15 or 16, he set his heart on following the Lord and obeying him. If you're a young person today, have you heard the call and have you obeyed it? God is a God who calls us to himself, and that includes young people. And when we're living in a time period
when many people are doing what's right in their own eyes. We're in the 21st century. Right now, we're right here in Round Lake. Some things in our nation and our culture have gotten better. Some things with equal rights are better for special needs persons, for women, for ethnic minorities, for employees. We've had advancements in medical care and mental health and technology overall. And this includes practical things like our church over 20 years ago got our first handicap lift. But for about 50-some years, our church didn't have one. Some things are getting better. And now we got a new lift. Thanks be to God. Okay? But there's also things in our culture that have gotten much worse. With violence. With the breakdown of family and marriage. And with just the overall promotion of self over God. We live in troubling times, and in our culture, many people are doing what's right in their own eyes, but God is calling you and God is calling me to obey his call, like the boy Samuel, and not go the way of the culture, and to obey his call even when sometimes we see in the church people living sinfully and not obeying the Jesus they proclaim to believe in. So let's first of all ask ourselves this question. Have we heard God's call and are we obeying it? Or are we doing what's right in our own eyes? Second, God's life-transforming call is God-centered and revealed through his word. Do we know the Lord? God's calling is God-centered. God's call in our life is not first and foremost about me or about you. It's about him, that he would get the glory. And he has a big unfolding plan that you and I can't fully understand. As we become a Christian and grow in knowing Christ, we start to get a glimpse of the big picture. But God's calling on our life is God-centered. It's about him. Even with Samuel, God called Samuel when he was around 12 years old as a boy to serve God as a prophet. And this was not just about Samuel's life. It was about what God was going to do for his people Israel at that time. He was going to take them out of this everyone doing what's right in their own eyes and being ruled by random judges and establish Israel as a kingdom and give them a king who was a man after God's own heart, a shepherd boy named David, which, by the way, is another person God called at a young age, David, when he was still a shepherd boy and before he became king. God's call on his life started then. But God's call is God-centered. It's about God and what he has for us. And the good thing is, it does have a personal aspect to us. What God might be calling for Mrs. Holtman may be different than for Mr. East or for Mr. Anderson or Mr. Velo. God has different individual calls for us, but it's all centered around him, not about us. And this calling is revealed through his word, as we see here in Samuel, verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Okay, he's being raised up. He's got a good heart, but he didn't yet know the Lord yet. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. This is how we come to know the Lord. There's multiple things, but part of it is we pick up a Bible. I like to use an actual book, but I know I also have a Bible app on my phone, and that's a good thing too. But we open up the word of God and we read it. If you've never done so, I encourage you. You might want to start in one of the four books of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which talk about Jesus. Read about him. And for us living today, after Jesus came to earth, because Samuel lived about 1,000 years before Jesus came to earth, we live after Jesus came to earth, so we have more revelation than Samuel did about how to know the Lord. And for you and I, that's by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, the Jesus of the Bible. Read the book of Matthew, or Mark, Luke, or John. And as you do so, ask, Lord, would you reveal yourself to me? And if you are already a Christian, keep reading the scriptures, but not just because we're supposed to, but because you and I want to grow in knowing Jesus and loving him more. And obey the God-centered call that God has on our lives. That's life-transforming. Part of the way God's call in our life is life-transforming is he reveals to us who Jesus is, and we then get a glimpse of who our Heavenly Father is. In the Bible, we learn there's one God, but he is three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We can't fully understand that, but that is God, and he has revealed himself as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the Father sent the Son about 2,000 years ago. And he came, and he walked on this earth. And he was the one who God used the boy Samuel to prepare Israel for, because God had a plan that the Lord and Savior of the world would come from God's people, the Jews, would come Israel's Messiah. And that happened about 2,000 years ago. And Scripture tells us about when Jesus was a young boy, he grew up and was obedient to his parents. And then around the age of 30, he began a public ministry where he was preaching the Word of God, speaking as God, not just about God. He claimed to have the authority to forgive sins, and yet he's also someone who, even today, by people who don't believe in Jesus as Lord, admire him for his humility. But that doesn't make much sense if he's also not God the Son, because someone who made the claims that Jesus did. Jesus claimed in the book of John, there's 7 I Am statements. Our youth group's been going through that over this last year. Here's a couple examples. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, God, but through me. That doesn't sound like a humble person, unless, of course, he's God the Son. He was such a captivating person that crowds would come and sit and listen to his sermons all day long. Jesus calmed the storm on the sea. He raised the dead back to life. He healed the blind. And yet the religious leaders of the day grew jealous and afraid, and they convinced the Roman governor Pontius Pilate to hand him over to be crucified, nailed to a cross between two thieves. And when that happened, and we can't fully understand this either, but God took our sin, all of our idolatry, when we love anything more than God, all of our not living by faith, even when we do good things and it's not by faith, Romans 14 says that's sin. God took our lust and our jealousy and our slander, the bad words that come out of our mouth. God took all that junk, all that sin, and laid it on his Son, because God, who's a loving God, will not let sin go unpunished. If he did, he would not be a just and righteous God. And Jesus, who lived a life that you and I have failed to live, died the death we deserve and paid that penalty, and God's anger, his wrath about our sin, was appeased. Then God raised him from the dead on the third day, on that Easter Sunday morning. And Jesus appeared in his resurrected body to over 500 believers, and he ascended up to heaven, and he reigns now, and he speaks to the Father in our defense if we put our faith in him. One day he will come back. In the meantime, he reigns now, and through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with us. And this is how we come to know the Lord, and how we come to obey God's call in our life, is by putting our faith in Jesus. If you haven't done that, I encourage you, you can do it right now as I'm preaching, or talk with one of us before the service is over, to come to experience God's life-transforming call in our lives by coming to know him through the person of Jesus, including as we pick up the Word of God and read it and take to heart. That's how God reveals himself. Hallelujah. So God's calling, it is God-initiated, and it comes on young people. God's calling is God-centered, and it's revealed through his Word. Last key point. God's life-transforming call is God-glorifying, and it's missional. Are we equipping the next generation in joyful service of King Jesus? God's life-transforming call is God-glorifying. It's not about us, it's about him. But the beauty is, as we choose to live a life that's for the glory of God, that's where we find the joy. Sometimes, if you're someone who might struggle with depression or discouragement, there can be a lot of reasons for that, and some of it can be biological and so forth. Ultimately, it arises out of the fact that all of us have a broken relationship with God. One day, we're promised that that relationship will be fully restored. But one of the things that can help us, whether we struggle with depression or not, that's just one example. Maybe we don't struggle with depression, but there's an emptiness on the inside of our life. Every now and then it hits us. It's like, is there not something more? Well, that's part of that something more is that we were created to worship God and give him the glory and not be a self-centered people. And when we choose to live a life and hear and obey God's call to serve him and get our eyes off ourselves and onto the Lord, that's where part of the joy is. We were created to give God the glory, and his life-transforming call on our lives does a work in us where he changes our worldview, where we start thinking more about God and less about ourselves. And that doesn't mean that you or I, that we're not important. We're actually extremely precious and valuable. We're created in the image of God.
But what's best for us is that our focus would be on him while we seek to love and encourage one another. God's call on this boy, Samuel, was God-initiated, it was God-centered, and it was God-glorifying. God was going to raise up Samuel, and then as he grew up as a boy, he, ironically, as a boy, even though the people around him were not equipping him to live a godly life, he would be raised up by the Lord to equip and guide the people of Israel to head towards being the people that God wanted them to be, even though they kept failing, and to prepare them to be a kingdom and for King David to come to the throne. And that was part of God's plan, that he was going to bring a blessing to the whole world, to the people of Israel, and ultimately through this one descendant of King David who was born to the Virgin Mary about 2,000 years ago. His name was Jesus. So God had a plan for Samuel, and it was to help prepare his people for something God was going to do 1,100 years later, bring Jesus to this world. Hallelujah. And this God, this life-transforming call that is God-glorifying is also missional. And I'm using the term missional here, which has to do with if we are a Christian, if we're obeying God's call in our life, we are on mission. We are to be serving the Lord. If you've ever heard about a missionary, oftentimes we think of someone who goes to a different country and so forth, and that's true. But and people who do that are set apart for God for that. God doesn't call everyone to be a missionary. But all Christians should be thinking missional in terms of how we live, that we want to reach out to the people around us in the community. And we are on mission as the people of God. Part of God's call in our life is not, it's God-centered and it's God-glorifying, and it's to be thinking not just what's going on in my life, but how is God using me to bless others? And part of the way God does that is by having you and I, first of all, hear and obey God's call, come to know the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ, and then use the gifts and the opportunities God has given us to serve others. And included in that is the call to equip other people, including the younger generation. As we've heard already today, the Round Lake Scouts are devoted to making an impact, leaders and parents, on young people, boys and girls, teenagers, and including as you become young adults. And as I said earlier in the service, it is a blessing for our church, it's a blessing for my family, it's a blessing for me to sometimes to step back and see what the Scouts are doing and hear what you're doing. Amen, and may God continue to bless you. May God continue to bless our church and the Bridge outreach that we're doing, because part of God's will, part of God's call on our lives is not only to take seriously what we're doing as individuals, whether we're young or old, but are we investing in the next generation who's up and coming, seeking to equip them? And as Christians, our call is to be equipping one another in service for King Jesus, who reigns now and who's coming back. May God bless you as scouts in what you're doing. I also exhort you and encourage you, amidst the blessing of scouts, not to miss the most important call of God, and that is that you would come to him through saving faith in Jesus Christ, know the Lord and be transformed by knowing him, and then go out and wherever God calls you in life, to go out in service for the Lord and to be a blessing to other people. And that might be some of you who are in scouts now, young people, you might be scout leaders someday. And we've already seen how some of you are leaders even as a young person. But you might be like a Mrs. Holtman who can stand up there and say, I've been serving for 25 years. Or God may have you serving something that you haven't even heard of yet. But whether you're in scouts or part of our church, may all of us turn, when we think about this boy Samuel, who was probably only 12 years old when God called him, may we be inspired by what God did and by Samuel's response. He didn't say, oh, I'm just a boy, I'll just wait to start serving God. He didn't act like the culture around him. He didn't act like the religious people around him who were living in sin. He took the call of God seriously on his life when it came. Have you done so? Have you obeyed his call? Do you know the Lord? And are you and I, are we investing our lives to equip the up-and-coming next generation to be servants, to serve the Lord, to continue to bless scouting, and to do so in joyful service? Part of the joy that God has for us in our life is experienced by knowing him and serving him and having our eyes off ourselves and looking to serve others. And we do so in the power of the Spirit until King Jesus returns, and God has promised us that this Jesus who came the first time is coming back. And when he comes back, he will set up a new heaven and earth. He will give us resurrected bodies that will never die or feel pain. And we'll be in a new heaven and earth where all evil is gone. But to enter into that kingdom, we need to put our faith in Jesus. And in the meantime, we want to serve him and we want to equip the next generation so that the life-transforming call of God that is God-initiated, God-centered, and God-glorified is working through you and I. Let's pray.